I speak to you in the name of God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier. For those who go to church fairly regularly, the beginning of a new Advent season can be a bit tricky. How can we prepare for the coming of Christ when we do our best to be aware of Christ's ongoing presence in our lives every day? Reminds me of the old question, have you found Jesus? I didn't know he was lost. And how do we prepare ourselves for the Advent journey? What do we pack? Have any of you arrived somewhere by plane only to find that your luggage has not arrived? I saw another of those cartoons where a person arrives at Heaven's Gate and St. Peter checks the records to see if he or she can get in. In this case, St. Peter tells the man, "The good news is you'll stay here. The bad news is your luggage is gone to hell." Yes, we can't take it with us, as the old saying goes. So this is also a season for giving. Many good charities are sending us mail and email asking for help, and God only knows there are so many situations of human suffering in the world that need our assistance, as do institutions that work for the betterment of society, like our church. So a lighter wallet might well be in order, especially to help bring Christ's compassion to a wounded world. But what should we actually bring with us on the Advent journey? Well, there are the four themes for each Sunday to bring along to remind you: hope, peace, joy, love. Those have no material weight, but they can make a big difference for making our world a better place. This week's theme is hope. What are we hoping for as we begin this new church year? What do we long for in the new year to come? May evil fail and good prevail? Something along those lines, perhaps? May all the earth have comfort and peace? Let's see how our readings today help us to sharpen our focus for this new Advent journey 2018. Our Gospel from Luke. Yes, this is the beginning of year C for Luke fans, is a good place to start. Jesus says, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." I'm sure we're not the only people to ever feel this way, but doesn't it sound like he might be talking about our times? Jesus is describing the end times and saying that when we see such signs, we should not despair, because it also means his return. As is written in Revelation and elsewhere, the old things have to end to make room for new things. In Hinduism, a popular form of the deity, Shiva, is known as the creator, destroyer, or the destroyer, transformer, suggesting that nothing new can come about without the transformation of the old. In Christianity, we do not think of God as a destroyer, but certainly Jesus came to transform our understanding of God. Turns out God was not so much interested in the precise details of religious laws, but rather bigger things like justice and righteousness. In fact, as Jesus teaches us, God expresses abhorrence at times for attention to minutiae when the weightier matters are being neglected. This is what we begin to hear from Jeremiah today. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth from David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." These are hopeful messages that tell us that ultimately evil will fail and God's goodness will prevail. There's one main catch, though. We have to be receptive, willing and able to hear God's call for us to be part of this new world transformation. Some of you will remember the old participation programs designed to get people moving. God made us in God's own image, so we are not bit players who are meant to cower backstage waiting for God to fix the world's problems. As our psalm today says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths." If we have things already figured out, there's no room for us to hear God. As Rabbi Heschel said, God is everywhere except in arrogance. Humility is not a very popular virtue these days, but as our psalm today reminds us, God guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly. Maybe not necessarily because God prefers them, although some argue that to be the case, but rather more so because they're receptive and they have room for taking in more of God's understanding in viewing life and the world. Perhaps something then to add to your Christmas wish list, asking for more humility. In case that sounds like no fun, consider the fact that the word humility comes from the same Indo-European root word as humor and as humanity, a root related to earth and good soil for growing things. So by all means, mix a little humor into your humility and humanity. There are so many ways to augment our Advent journey to help us keep our eyes on the prize. There's even a new and free Church of England phone app called A Good Advent that I learned about on a Facebook page called Holy Disorder of Dancing Monks. I could hardly resist a page with that name. I had to check it out. At Christmas, we will be celebrating the incarnation, the fact that God decided to come among us in human form, that the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, as one Bible paraphraser put it. Just think, Almighty God breaks into who we are as humans to better connect with us and to redeem us of so many misconceptions that tend to develop over time as different generations think that God wants what they want. For me, probably the best presentation I've seen on this is still a 5-minute New Zealand children's Christmas video. This is the second of them, actually, done in 2012, and it's called An Unexpected Christmas. Have you seen it, anyone? Ah, you're in for a treat. It's on YouTube. You just Google An Unexpected Christmas. Make sure it's the New Zealand version. The actors are all children, but the material is solidly useful for adults of many educational levels. Near the beginning of the video, God is looking over the balcony of heaven through a spyglass, looking at all the bad things happening on earth, and then he turns dejectedly away saying, "Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in mind when I created earth. I feel so far away from my kids down there." I won't spoil the plot, you can see the rest. If you like that video, you might want to check the earlier, the 2010 New Zealand children's Christmas story. That's basically more just the nativity acted out by these lovely children, also on YouTube. In both these videos, we see charming and disarmingly sweet, but also poetic and prophetic versions of the nativity and what heavenly goings-on may have led up to it. Basically, the main point of An Unexpected Christmas is that God chooses to come among us as an extremely vulnerable newborn baby, born to poor parents elsewhere than their homeland, and then further exiled to another country for a while. A situation somewhat resembling today's world with so many desperate migrant families on the move. And yet, despite our own fragilities and vulnerabilities, God invites all of us to bring greater hope to a wounded world. May our Advent journey find us participating in God's plan for greater justice and righteousness in our world, demonstrated through the compassion that Jesus came to teach us as God's true way. Amen.